Happy Sunday to everybody out there. Got a long day ahead of you waiting for kickoff down there in Big D. Joe, have you ever been to that stadium?
I have been. Jerry World?
Jerry.
Yeah, I was there for, remember the Donovan air guitar game?
Yeah.
They played back-to-back weeks. One was to finish the season.
Air guitar was here, though, right?
No, it was in Dallas.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it was in Dallas. They played back-to-back games there, and they lost both. I was at the one to end the season, and then they sent John, get on the guy at Fox, John Anderson, to do the playoff game, and I stayed here.
But
it was cool. It was.
I was there.
Really big.
Not for a football game when Dallas hosted the NBA All Star.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the building had just been completed, and they took us over there for a tour, Jerry World tour.
How cool was that?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right?
I mean, because it was brand new and hadn't had anything in it yet.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Wow. Wow, that TV, that big TV thing is just like...
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Jerry does it big.
He does everything. Yeah. He's in the right state for big.
Yes, he is.
Right?
It doesn't even feel like a football stadium. It's almost like a museum in a way.
It's so big.
Yeah. It's an experience.
It is an experience, yeah.
It is. Like, you go to that game anywhere you are, wherever your seat or not seat, because there is standing room only there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience just to be there. That's what it is. And the Eagles will be there tonight. 8:20 start, Sunday Night Football. By the way, I don't know if you read this in the paper today, but so when they played the game in Atlanta, which was also a Sunday night game, week two, NBC was going to do a feature or kind of put out there, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya is on the sideline, but they had a thing, the Mount Rushmore of Eagles. You know, you can have that debate, that conversation.
Yeah, sure.
They never got to it because of all the weirdness that happened with Deshaun, Dallas Goddard. Remember Goddard?
Yeah, that's
Goddard
right.
Didn't play because he got hurt in warm-ups.
And so did Alshon,
And Alshon. And so all this strange stuff was happening that they never got to their Mount Rushmore. So supposedly we're going to be treated to the Mount Rushmore, NBC's version of it, of the Eagles tonight.
Do they do that with every team? Why are they doing the Eagles?
I don't... The article didn't say...
Okay.
Yeah, maybe they do. But I feel like I... You know what? I have seen it.
Have you?
I don't know if they do it every Sunday night, though.
Okay.
Well, I guess if you've played multiple times, you wouldn't do it every Sunday night. Right.
Exactly.
So, like, this is the second time the Eagles are on.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, right?
If they do it right.
Well, first of all, it's only four.
I know.
It's a hard thing to do.
It's hard.
It's very hard, in my opinion.
But, I mean, I love them, but I don't want to see, like Jeff Garcia up there. I want them to, you know.
No, he's not.
Well, I know. I'm just exaggerating, but, you know,
sometimes to make the point?
Yeah, sometimes you'll see somebody that's like, what?
Yeah.
Come on. You got to have, like, Reggie.
Reggie has to be on
Reggie
there for sure.
Reggie has to be on there.
Like, do you go back? Does Bednarik have to be on there? I mean, come on.
Boy, you're going back.
But I'm saying, if you better specify if it's the entire existence.
Since 1933 or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're doing modern day, that's a little different.
A little different, yeah.
You know?
Doc will be on there.
Yeah, Doc should be on there.
Mm-hmm. I'd put Randall, but that's just me. I know people like to say Donovan over Randall. I would go Randall over Donovan.
They won't do that.
No.
No way.
Mm-mm.
No way.
But I don't think Donovan will be up there either, right?
No.
You wouldn't be up there?
No.
No, I wouldn't think so. Okay.
Doc and Reggie are the only two that go boom to my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, he's saying Tommy McDonald. Yeah, but again, I don't know how far back we're going. And if you're going to do that, I think Bednarik would have to be up there.
Oh, he would be, sure.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an icon.
Yeah. I don't know. Should be interesting. So you have that to look forward to. I like the backstory of how they didn't get to do it in week two because of everything that was going on with the team. I think that was kind of funny.
That is great.
Yeah. I had said advantage Eagles for you this evening, and you actually struggled to come up with advantage Eagles.
I did.
Yeah.
I really did. I like the quarterback.
Meaning right.
In terms of a matchup, though, that's where I would look to exploit, if possible, just because they're hurt. But they are, when they are healthy, they're like the best offensive line in the game.
Right, but they're not healthy.
They're not.
Yeah.
So So know, we'll does see the defensive
game,
line.
Can I was
take
just going to say, does the this game is it determined in the trenches? Whoever wins,
usually they are. I wouldn't say this would stray from that the formula. Probably in the trenches, whoever wins the line of scrimmage, and
which puts
it's be interesting.
Puts Andre Dillard back in the spotlight.
Yeah, I was going to say the matchup you talked about earlier, and you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is going to get moved over there at times, so he's going to go against. Never had a sack, has not sacked an Eagle since he's been playing, but he's got 26 and a half career. Going up against Andre Dillard, oh man, they got to keep some folks in there to help Dillard out a little bit.
Yeah, right?
Match protect, chip, something. You can't expect a rookie to just, you know, not get beat at times during this game. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Well, it comes from the Pac-12, too.
And if you're Carson, now you're not going to publicly say this, but do you think you have concerns knowing that Dillard's there? And because let's face it, Jason Peters hasn't been able to stay on the field.
No.
So I don't know if your concerns have to be grand because it's been a problem. But if you're Carson, do you have concerns because the rook's going to be there from the get-go?
I would. Yeah, if I know a rookie's having my backside, my blind side
my
today,
blind
yeah,
side, yeah.
I'd be thinking about it a little bit. Try not to think about it and to distract you during the game, but heading into the game, yeah, I don't have Jason Peters over there, man, my Hall of Fame left tackle.
Yep.
And we don't know about Andre Dillard. It's not like we know, well, he can play well, we've seen him play well,
yeah.
Or we've seen him play horribly. We don't know what, I don't know what to expect.
And by the way, having the injury report on Jason Peters that says he's week to week. Yeah, that doesn't bode well, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's about coming to the end of the line.
I mean, I'm saying this: if Dillard performs, we had an adjective. Nothing was glaring.
Right, nothing glaring.
Nothing glaring. Yeah. If Dillard is nothing glaring to the bad
I'll
side,
take that.
You'll take that.
Absolutely.
But I think that factors in moving forward for Dillard and the offensive line, because I think if the kid does okay, you're not trying to go back to Jason Peters, because I don't think he's getting any healthier. That's my point.
He's not.
Right?
I mean, every year, every week, it's something else.
This is the
knee. Soft tissue,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's had some injuries, and he can't stay on the field.
Which, by the way, exactly. But that's not new.
Right. That is correct.
That
is correct. That's a shame. But he's had a Hall of Fame career. It's about time to move on. Pass the torch to the rookie.
Well, the torch is coming.
The rookie.
This guy is not a rookie by any stretch of the imagination. We have Les Bowen of the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com, with us on the line. Les, thanks for taking some time out of your day. How are you?
Great, Dee. How are you?
It's been a while.
Yes.
Hi, Les.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, pal?
All right.
So, Les, I don't know. We've had 7 days to dissect, analyze, find out who's playing, find out who's not on both sides for the Eagles and the Cowboys. And we know the magnitude of the game because you have two 500 record teams going at each other. When all is said and done, do you see an area that the Eagles are definitely have the advantage going into this game?
Well, I think they have the better quarterback, but he certainly doesn't have the better weapons if Amani Cooper is indeed going to be healthy today. there was a huge variable here that most of us didn't have figured correctly when we made our picks. You know, that suddenly a bunch of guys that the Cowboys were practicing without most of the week, suddenly they're going to play. And we don't know how much that's going to affect the game. But I would say the Eagles have the better quarterback. I would say their offensive line is actually a little better than the Cowboys' offensive line, which is one of the best in the league. And I would say the Eagles are better at tight end. But after that, not too many plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be a problem, Les. Now, Les, we haven't touched on it yet, but I've talked about it earlier, the linebackers, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. They're obviously going to certainly attempt to thwart any running game that the Eagles trot out there tonight. How do you get around those guys at all, if you do?
Yeah, I think you really have to, the Eagles have had success and other teams have had success running against the Cowboys this year. I think you just have to, I think that's one area where the Eagles' athletic offensive line comes into play. They have guys like Brandon Brooks and, Jason Kelce who can get to the second level, Lane Johnson. you know, and really disrupt those linebackers. I think the Eagles want to run today. You know, this is a Dallas team that's only given up 5 touchdown passes all season. You're on the road. It's going to be loud. I think you need to be able to run to win this game. And, you know, the Cowboys ought to be better against the run than they have been this season. I think that's something that's puzzled people here. You mentioned mentioned the fact that they're both 3-3. You know, I don't think either team really expected to be 3-3 right now. And from the Cowboys side, I think their defense has been really the thing that's been puzzling to them. They have a lot of playmakers there who just haven't made great plays. You know, Jalen Smith, one of those linebackers, and Leighton Vander Esch, you mentioned, they have not been quite as, you know, sideline to sideline, havoc wreaking type guys that they, you know, were last season. So we'll see. I think the Eagles can get the running game going. I don't think they're going to get a lot outside. I think they're going to have to take it right up the gut and, you know, get the blocks. I don't think there's going to be a lot of like, breakout runs or anything like that, but I think they can slug out their 3 or 4 yards and move the ball downfield.
Les, I'm curious because we saw last week where, and we've talked a lot about the Eagles secondary all season long. Diggs and Thielen had their way with, you know, Sidney Jones and Douglas looked lost, for lack of a better word, last week. But let's just assume Darby plays, and maybe you know one way or the other. He's the questionable one, and Jalen Mills is coming back, but hasn't played in a year. Is both of them coming off of injury, but stepping back into the lineup, is that automatically an upgrade from what we've seen?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, that, to me, it almost smacks of desperation, given, you know, Darby. Look, maybe he's a little farther along in his rehab from the knee injury now. When he started the season, you could tell it hadn't been the, you know, well-trod meme of 12 months since the ACL injury. He wasn't really playing at the level that he had previously. Then he hurt his hamstring, and, you know, he got some weeks off. Maybe he's really ready to be Ronald Darby again. But he hasn't played in a while, and he wasn't playing well when he went down. And then you have Jalen Mills, who last played in London on October 28, 2018. And, you know, I mean, he's a confident guy, and I think he's been, you know, they had to put him on, PUP for roster purposes, you know, earlier. I think maybe he could have come back a few weeks ago had he not been on PUP, you know, but that doesn't mean that he has any sharpness, you know, that doesn't mean he's really ready to play at AT&T Stadium against Amari Cooper. You know, it just seems to me they have no confidence in the guys that have been doing this, this season. And, it's a really disaster area for the Eagles, frankly. And one that I didn't really see coming. I thought they'd have some, you know, the way they ended last season against the Bears and the Saints, I thought they kind of had this under control. I thought they had corners that they liked. And, you know, if people were healthy, you know, they'd be okay there. And what we've, certainly they haven't been healthy again. But the guys that we liked really, like Avante Maddox wasn't playing well before he got hurt. We haven't even seen Cravon LeBlanc, who got hurt the first day of training camp. Rasul Douglas, I thought was playing very well. And then last week was just a disaster. And, you know, it's Sidney Jones. You know, that's the main guy right there. That's the guy you drafted to be a star, you know. And I don't know what's happened. If his confidence after all the leg injuries has really taken a hit. He seems to be playing hesitantly, without a lot of decisiveness. And, you know, in any sport, that's murder. I don't know what's up with him, but him not being the guy they drafted him to be in 2019 is a devastating thing for the Eagles team. So they're really putting a lot of hopes, I think, on Darby and Mills this week, and we'll see if that works out for them.
Yeah,
Les, I want to go big picture here, and we're with Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Inquirer because you mentioned Sidney Jones maybe not being the Sidney Jones that they drafted, and saw some articles recently, and I've been talking about it. I wrote an article a few weeks ago about the fact that the Eagles haven't drafted real well since 2013, right. And they did a great job in 2017, plugging a lot of holes with free agents and trades. It didn't work out as much this year, but you look at Dallas.
Or last year.
That's what I mean. Yeah, Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Lyle Collins, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, the two linebackers, DeMarcus Lawrence. Dallas is all drafted. These are all homegrown people from Dallas. Right. Now, how did the Eagles move forward? I don't even want to mention the word rebuild, but at some point, I mean, they're getting pretty old, yeah. And they're going to have to do that, and your foundation is through your draft. What are the Eagles going to do?
Well, that's the root of why they couldn't get Jalen Ramsey, Joe. You know, two first-round picks and a fourth, with everything you just detailed, you know, they weren't in a position to do that. They would have had a really good corner and nothing else.
That's true.
You know, they got to do a better job. I think when Joe Douglas was here, we don't really have a coherent idea of what Howie Roseman's draft strategy is right now. He's had several different draft strategies over his tenure, depending on, you know, what happened the year before. But Joe Douglas was here the last 3 years. Now he's the GM of the Jets. And he was really big on guys that were solid, were productive, maybe didn't have great, you know, untapped potential, but were good people and guys that you knew weren't going to be horrific busts. That was kind of, there were some exceptions, but that was kind of his guiding principle. Guys like Derek Barnett, Dallas Goedert, you know, guys that you knew were going to play in the league. But at some point you need to get good people, you know, really good. I mean, star level talent, mm-hmm. difference makers.
Exactly.
And they really haven't drafted difference makers for a lot of reasons. One is that philosophy. Another is that they haven't had a lot of high draft picks in recent years. With trades they made to win the Super Bowl, the Wentz trade, some of the other trades, you know, they're bringing guys like Jay Ajayi and other players that really helped them do that. But, you know, that's over, and they're kind of reaping the consequences of it. They just don't have that young core of up-and-coming young players, and it's just disturbing. You know, when you see something like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside this season, second-round pick, and I know lots of times rookie receivers struggle, but it seems like they drafted a type that they already had in Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, instead of going for somebody young and really fast, you know, who could stretch the field, like Terry McLaurin, the receiver the Redskins got in the third round from Ohio State. You know, they drafted another possession guy who can't get on the field. And that, even if he's still learning and stuff like that, that's when you're as below par as they are at wide receiver right now, and this guy can't get on the field, that really sends off alarm bells to me.
Les, before we let you go, does Doug Peterson come home a man of his words?
Well, you know, I picked the Eagles to win, but that was when we thought Amari Cooper and the two tackles for the Cowboys
weren't playing. Yeah.
One of the starting corners weren't playing. I don't know if I would make that pick now. I don't know. I mean, the NFL is funny. All leagues are funny. I mean, it's the Eagles really, they really pointed toward this week. And I think we'll see a much better effort than we saw in Minnesota. Not effort, but I think we'll see
better football.
Focus.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think the effort was there last week. They just got killed.
Yeah.
But I don't think that will happen tonight. But I think it's a tough matchup. And I think, you know, being on the road for this game is really bad. But 3 weeks in a row on the road, because of the somehow they thought the Phillies were going to be in the postseason, and that made that never made a big difference 10 years ago when the Phillies were in the postseason. The Eagles just go on the road for a month. Yeah. But I just think that's a huge, yeah, they got to go to Buffalo next week. Buffalo's playing great.
Yep. You know?
I mean, I just think these 3 weeks are just really, they're going to have to get through this somehow and still have a season left. And I think they really need to win tonight to make that happen.
Les, thanks so much for taking time out of your day. We do appreciate it.
Well, thanks to you guys. Have a good day,
Les. Hey, appreciate it, Les. Always good talking to you, pal.
Les
Bowen.
Already, Jeff. Yes. Les Bowen of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Yeah, I did see his prediction. And
I love him.
I know, he's great. I used to enjoy doing Daily News Live.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I used to do that.
That's right.
And he was always
awesome.
Yeah. And actually, this is how old I am. Daily News Live, I remember when he was still on the Flyers.
I was just going to say, I was going to give you how old I am. I used to hang with Les when he covered the Flyers.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, yeah,
you really remember because I drink.
That's true, Josh. I would agree with him that the guys coming back for Dallas that did not practice all week does throw a little bit of a wrench in this. And the biggest one being Amari, let's face it. If Amari is himself.
Hey, 3 touchdowns against him last time.
I mean, it's a problem.
He's a killer. He's a difference maker, a game changer, which Les was talking about the Eagles are bereft at least with their like past 5 or 6 drafts. They don't have impact guys. He's an impact guy. Now he was acquired through a trade, but they need game changers like that. If you look on the Eagles side of the ball offensively, aside from Carson Wentz, who's your game changer? Deshaun, but he's not here. I'm thinking, who's a real game changer?
No.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, when you're saying he was acquired, meaning Amari, think about that. Amari and Khalil?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Gone?
Gone.
Gone.
How about that?
How do you do that?
They were trying to acquire picks to...
I don't care that they weren't your picks. Come on.
You don't get rid of Khalil Mack.
Whoa.
You do not get rid of Khalil Mack.
Every week they talk about like him. Right? Your team could be terrible, but he's so good.
A dominant force.
Oh, my God.
So
how do you get rid of that guy?
He's a train wreck in a good way.
Unbelievable. 6 months. I don't know why all of a sudden when you said via trade, because we've been talking a lot about draft.
Mm-hmm.
But those who drafted those two and then let them go?
Yeah. Grudog. Had enough.
But his team's playing.
They're playing well. Good for him.
All right. Well, I can go.
No Antonio Brown.
I can go home. Yeah. Right. I can go home and watch it at 1 o'clock and in relaxation.
Back of a day.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. All right. Now we've heard from Les Bowen. We've been chatting about the Eagles and the Cowboys. Do you have any concerns? Because as Les said, you really do need to get this one. You do. It doesn't end your season, but he is right. These 3 road games are critical because of where they fall in your season. You have any concerns? If you do, I want to know what they are. He's Joe Stazek. I'm D. Lineham. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by Bachman's Roofing, Building, and Remodeling. Quality and service, Bachman's nails it every time. Cowboys, Eagles, 8:20 start this evening. The winner will be in control of the division. We have dissected this matchup for all week now, Joe. But you know what? It never gets old. Do you notice that?
I could preview this game.
I'm very sure you can.
No, I mean, I'm not saying I could. I mean, I could just, this would be great. I could do this all the time.
Yes. Well, your podcast partner could probably do the same, and I'm sure you have this week.
No, he can.
Steve Callis is on the Comcast Business Hotline. Steve, thanks for joining Joe and I on this Sunday morning. How are you?
I'm good, D. Good to be with you. Good to be with Joe. Can I have 1 minute on Mount Rushmore of the Philadelphia Eagles and Chuck Bednarik?
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Chuck Bednarik, the first pick in the first round, 1949. Played on a championship team in 1949. Played both ways and through 1960, the end of his career. Played center, played linebacker. Was on the championship team in 1960. I know you guys know all of this, but I also think you know that in 1960 he knocked out Frank Gifford with a clean tackle, according to Frank Gifford. And not only did he miss the rest of the 1960 season, Gifford, he missed all of 1961. So you can look at any hit you want in the history of football. That's the best worst, depending on your point of view. But, you know, I think he's in every top 100 list I've seen in the NFL. And the NFL in 1995, I think it was, they had a 75-year anniversary team. Chuck Bednarik was on it. So I don't know how he can't be on Mount Rushmore, unless you say what you were saying before, they're going modern. But if you're going Mount Rushmore forever, I think he has to be on the Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia Eagles.
I think so too, Steve. But again, I didn't see what the parameters were. So
I understand.
So we'll see. All right, well, let's look at this Eagles-Cowboys. And the biggest thing, I think, is who's in and who's not, because there were a lot of people that were questioned to be able to be playing in this game tonight. And for really, the Cowboys are the ones who got more guys back that seem to be impactful if they, in fact, can be themselves. Would you agree with that?
Well, I agree, but you said the main thing. If, in fact, they can be themselves, I mean, Amari Cooper, I don't know, is he going to make two cuts and get hurt again? The two tackles are in, but how good are they? That line was so good 2 or 3 years ago when Elliott led the league in rushing in his rookie year, and Dak Prescott looked like the second coming as opposed to a fourth-round draft pick. But if Elliott isn't running the ball well, if those two tackles aren't 100%, I don't see how Amari Cooper can make cuts a week later when it looked like he wasn't going to play and he didn't practice all week. So I picked the Eagles with when we did the podcast with Joe on Friday, and yeah, we kind of knew maybe these guys were coming back, but you know, I still think that division is the Eagles to lose, as I thought it was for the Eagles to lose before the season started. And I understand it's become a terrible division. I thought it would be pretty good with Dallas and the Eagles. But as you guys pointed out, they're both 3-3.
Steven, defensive ends for Dallas, DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn are both going to get their crack at Andre Dillard, the left tackle for the Eagles, who's a rookie. He's playing for Jason Peters tonight. How concerned should Carson Wentz be?
Well, he should be concerned because Dillard got run over a couple times last week, as I'm sure you both know. You know, my solution to that is you have to put a back on the left side or a tight end over there. You got to chip him. I mean, some of this stuff is pretty basic. How do you stop these guys? If you have a rookie left tackle, he needs help. So he needs help either with a running back to the left of Carson Wentz, not the right. I understand they usually line up to the right for the Eagles because that's their scheme. But also maybe stick a tight end over there. You got to chip the guy or else I think he's going to get run over by these guys again. And nothing against him. He's been thrown into the fire or thrown into the deep water, and he hasn't really had a chance to learn how to swim, in my opinion. So if that's the case, you got to give him help.
All right, let's look at Carson Wentz, and he's played fine. I use not a fancy adjective
right
there. Today, if you're trying to, like, establish your offense early, I mean, sharing the ball, what does he do? We keep talking about not having a DeSean Jackson to stretch this field, but one guy should not be like the end all for your offense that was, you know, talked about having so many weapons, and yet we don't talk about that anymore.
I think he has to go back to Wentz to Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz had over, you know, whatever he had,
118
catches.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible that year, and I think you can beat the Cowboys that way, down the seam, down the middle. He's not going to have a lot of time to throw the ball unless they totally change their offensive line scheme with the left tackle being helped. And I think you got to get it out quickly. I think Carson Wentz can do it. It's not like he hasn't done it before. We've all seen it, and we're all waiting for that guy. And you're right, his stats are good. He's kind of good. But when you look at his record since he got hurt, it's just not good. And it's the old you are what your record says you are. But both of their records are 3-3, so it says they're both 500 teams. And I still think the Eagles can go on the road and get this game. Maybe I'm a dreamer, but I don't think Dallas is that good. And look at their 3 week wins. They beat nobody. So the Eagles win over the Packers to me was a huge win. Dallas hasn't beaten anybody good. I don't know if they beat the Eagles, if they're going to say they beat somebody good, but certainly it'll be a much better team than anybody they've beaten this year. Their first three games were a joke. So I still like the Eagles. Again, maybe I'm dreaming, but even with all those guys coming back, I heard Les say, I don't know if I'd make the same pick now. Well, you still have a choice. The game hasn't started yet, but I would still pick the Eagles today.
Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. We talk about Dak Prescott. We talk about Zeke on our podcast all the time, and how they're kind of related in terms of the success of one kind
Absolutely.
Of ties into the success of the other. But Dak has kind of been all over the place this year. Good numbers. He ranges from a perfect rating in game one against the Giants to a 3-interception game against the Packers, and he had no TDs, no interceptions last week, and Zeke has kind of been all over the place as well. What should we expect from Dak, and how do you contain Dak or control him, keep him in the pocket so he doesn't hurt you with his legs?
Yeah, I'm not a Dak guy, as you know. I think his success, and again, in Dak's defense, he's making $2 million this year, so that's kind of a joke. He's not a $30 million quarterback. He may get it, but he's making $2 million this year. I think it depends on how Elliott runs. Normally, we've said it all the time, Joe, if Elliott's running well, if he's in the game and running well, Dak looks like a star. If Elliott is not in the game or is heavily contained, Dak looks like a fourth-round draft pick. So I think the Eagles can contain them. I don't think, you know, Jason Witten coming back from the broadcast booth has been good, not great. I don't think they have as many weapons as they think they have, and that includes, to me, maybe injured, partially injured, not 100% Amari Cooper, who, as you guys know, last year when he showed up in Dallas, totally turned the team around. So they have, you can't call them the triplets anymore to me, because Elliott has been good, not great. Dak, to me, has been good, not great. You have a perfect passer rating against the Giants. I'm not quite sure what that means, frankly. They're a decent defense, but no more than a decent defense. And then he throws 3 picks in another game. So I think he's containable. Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to stay in your lane, as they say, for the 4 guys rushing. And just let me say once more, please, Jim Schwartz, please, if you're weak in the defensive back area, please blitz to get him to get the ball out quickly. Otherwise, it'll be Kirk Cousins standing back there playing street ball. Stephon Diggs, you run as far as you can, as fast as you can. I'll throw it as far as you can, and you can catch, you know, a 62-yard touchdown pass and a 51-yard touchdown pass. Looks like they were playing in the street last week. So I think to avoid that, you got to get pressure, and that's always the eternal, I guess, conundrum for Jim Schwartz. If you can't get pressure with 4, you might want to try 5 or 6.
Good stuff, Steve. Thank you so much for hopping on with Joe and I. Appreciate it.
Pleasure to be with both of you.
Good talking, Steve. We'll catch up today, babe.
All right.
Steve Callis, our guest, compliments of the Comcast Business Hotline. Yeah, pressure. But don't you feel like we talk about that with this team?
All the time.
Yeah, incessantly.
And it doesn't happen, except for the Jets game. And I kind of throw that one out. You know,
there's a lot about the Jets game.
That you throw out, right?
Including Luke got thrown out.
Exactly. So that wasn't really, you know. You throw out the whole high score and the low score. That was really the low score. And I don't really factor that into the pressure they've gotten or not.
Yeah, those
not gone this year.
I will say this. Those 10 sacks will so skew those numbers for the rest of the season.
They were last in the league 32nd before the game. They moved up to like 15th in the league.
I mean, that
after
doesn't
the 10
happen.
Sack game. No.
No, come on.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll regroup. You haven't given your prediction yet, right?
Did I give it earlier? I might have given it.
You said but I don't think you gave me a score.
Okay. I'll do it later.
All right. I just want you thinking
about it. Or you want it now?
No, no.
Okay.
We're taking a break.
Sure.
Because I don't think I gave a score either.
Okay.
And I happen to now have looked at Les Bowens and all the rest of the Inquirer guys. And so now I feel like what I had in my head is not right. 610-632-0975. What do you have as a final score for tonight's game between the Eagles and the Cowboys? Hop on with Joe Stazak and me on the other side of 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a football Sunday for sure here in the Delaware Valley. Joe Stazak, D-Line, I'm with you until 1 o'clock. We've had a lot of people weigh in, including a lot of fans out there on this Eagles-Cowboys game. I don't get the feeling, Joe, that people have great concern about the Eagles going in there and taking care of the Cowboys. I'm not saying that it's a given, but sometimes when you're coming off of a loss like they were like they lost in Minnesota last week, you would end because of the rivalry you have with Dallas, and given that Dallas won twice last year, and given that you've had your own concerns, that I would have expected greater concern than I've heard.
I have not heard the emoting we usually hear, especially on Dallas week. I'm wondering if it's because the expectations have been lowered a little bit now that they're 3-3. Yeah, if they were 5-1, 6-0, 4-2, and playing well with Super Bowl aspirations, at least, or at least making some damage in the NFC playoffs, I think people might be more into this. But I think people are now at a wait and see kind of attitude.
Maybe that's what it is.
Wait and see a little bit. We need to see some more if we're going to really jump back on.
And obviously, because Dallas is also 3-3,
right?
And everybody has said they played nobody in the wins.
Right. Nobody.
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 And if you go head-to-head competition, the Eagles beat the Packers and the Jets, and the Cowboys did not.
That's exactly right. Packers being the key game there.
Yeah. And the Eagles did it on the road.
That offense looked like from the end of the first quarter or midway through the second quarter when they started to come around. That's the offense
that you need to see today.
That you need to see. Yeah. We've seen before in past years, but just haven't been able to kind of put that together for four quarters in any game since the beginning of last year. But that's what it used to look like.
They went right down the field. In that game, the run was established.
It was.
And I know you're not a big, that you think that they'll do it by air.
Coming
out of the gate.
Yeah, because I think they might have a tough time running against those linebackers, and they're not as persistent with it. If it works, they'll stick with it.
Right.
When it doesn't work, I think they get away from it real quick.
I'm looking at this headline from today's Paul Domowich, and it's like catching as well as carrying, but underneath it, running back Miles Sanders has become the Birds' biggest deep threat.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? He is.
Yeah, I know.
It's
but
unbelievable.
No wonder people are concerned mm-hmm. or not, they're in wait and see mode.
Right.
When you have headlines like that, yep. Which are not true. That's a true headline.
That is a true headline. It's scary that it's true.
Yep.
Because I expected to possibly be drafting our running back of the future. And it's early. He might still turn out to be that. Mm-hmm. But right now he hasn't done a whole lot with his legs. It's been through the air. He just keeps getting open and getting behind guys and no one's around him. He caught a ball for a touchdown against Minnesota down the seam. He's just, I don't know what he's doing, but he is probably their most explosive offensive weapon so far.
Yes. Let me ask you this. One of the strengths, because we say, I say Carson Wentz fine. I use that adjective with him. But I have to give the guy kudos. What he has done on third downs has been very, very strong. Will that be, does that factor in today, do you think?
50% on third downs.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I think it'll factor in as well. It's a key to the game, third down conversion.
Right.
It's one of the big keys to every game. Moving the chains, moving the chains on third downs. Oftentimes you see a disastrous game that you look 2-for-14, something like that. Not moving the chains, not being efficient, having to punt the ball away, and not really getting your offense cooking. I think it's huge, and I think they've done a great job at it this year, and you got to tip your hat. You can say whatever you want about Carson Wentz. He's not the problem with his team right now.
No.
He's not the problem. There's so many other problems ahead of Carson Wentz.
But what it is, Joe, people want him to be the savior.
I know.
That's the problem.
They want him to be even right. up here.
Because we see other teams who have quarterbacks right. that save the day.
Right.
That's right. the problem.
Yeah, like look at Russell Wilson. He lost his top receiver in Doug Baldwin, and he's still playing at MVP level, and they're 5-1, and he does it with his legs, and he slides, and he moves the chains, and he comes up with clutch throws. They want to see that.
Yep. That's totally what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I said coming out, that part of what was so helpful in that Packers game was the running game. Does Jordan Howard's been good.
He's been good.
But you say against these linebackers, he can't.
It's a little tougher. I'm not saying he can't run the ball. Listen, they've been run on the last couple of weeks, which has been surprising. If they're going to, it's going to be Jordan Howard. I'm sorry. He's your top running back. Give the ball to him. I know they like to mix and match and switch it around a lot and, you know, force Miles Sanders on us and force Darren Sproles here and there. Just give the ball to Howard and then give him a blow or two or supplement it with some Miles Sanders runs. Kind of switch it up, you know, kind of alter your level of speed. And if it starts working, you're going to see them stick with it. And it has been working against the boys recently. So, you know, it could be a completely different ball game than I envisioned.
And along the same lines, do you actually try to establish that run early, not just because you should for balance reasons, but because you have the rookie left tackle in there and it takes Carson out of the equation on some of those snaps?
Takes the pressure off him a little bit.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's a good point because you got a lot of things to think about. That's one of them. They also do need to score early or they're going to go out of their minds again, trailing by 10 or more in four of the five games.
I don't think they care. I think we're the only ones who care. I don't think the Eagles care.
And if you run the ball, you know, the chances are probably less that you're going to go down the field and score that. They might move the ball and move field position, but they're going to have to do it through the air. If they don't do that, they might find themselves in a position again where they're down or they, you know, get the ball in the second half, but they've already wasted their series in the first half. Next thing you know, you're down 10, you're down 14. Five of the six games, you've been down at least 10 points.
I know. There's part of me that thinks they enjoy being the comeback kids.
Right? With the dog mask. Yeah. Back to the dog mask.
Exactly. Let's hit John in Southampton. John, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning, guys. Dee and Joe, you guys are so good. I would pay for you guys during the week. I'm telling you, I would pay for that program during the week.
You're kind, John. Thank you, man.
All right, friend. Listen, damaged goods. I mean, you know, I think the world of Deshaun. What a talent! But did he come to us as damaged goods? Is one of my thoughts. And you know, it certainly is a young man's game. This game anymore. I mean, Sproles, he probably should have separated from at least 2 years ago. And maybe you're getting production out of Sanders because just that he's a young buck
guy. Yeah,
and he's not banged up. Ask me after he's got a couple hundred catches or plays under his belt, and it would be a different answer. But that's what's disappointing about this year. I would have said after that first game, they don't lose again, right?
Right.
And look what we got. Look what we got, in 6 weeks now of playing. So
the one thing I'll say to you, John, when you say, did he come to you as damaged goods, he being Deshaun Jackson, that first game performance, I would say he wasn't damaged when he arrived.
Thank you, Dee. Right. I agree. I agree, and that's why I thought there was so much promise for this year, but it's a young man's game. Gotta go. Thanks, guys.
All right, John. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, and the kind words. Let me just say this. When you have a depth chart, and we looked a lot about, we were kind of interested in what was kept and what was not. Backup wide receiver with speed should have been, needs to be, and now it's not even backup. Because after this year, likely Deshaun can't do it.
You know who was supposed to be kind of their backup speed receiver when he was drafted in the fourth round a couple of years ago? Matt Collins. He was supposed to be that guy.
Well, he's not been the guy.
Another draft pick that doesn't seem to be making an impact.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. Sit tight, Joe Stazek, because we're going to invite the callers to weigh in. We have one more hour to weigh in. What will happen in Big D this evening? It's week 7. You have 2 500 ball clubs, football teams, and somebody's going to be leading the division at the end of the night. Who will it be? You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.